Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
All right, I want to welcome all of you who are listening to another edition of the Roundtable Podcast. It's good to have you, however you're listening, whether you are downloading, live streaming, which we don't have, yeah. So they can't live stream, iTunes or what have you. It is great to have you. My name is Norm Funk, lead pastor of Westside Church. Joining me at the table, as per usual, James Bonney, who's a pastor and elder at Westside North Shore. How are you, James?
Doing great. Always a pleasure.
And this is indeed a pleasure, joining us at the round table for the very first time is Joseph Peterson. Woo! Joseph Peterson, who has recently joined the staff of Westside as the director of youth ministry for both campuses. Joseph, it is really indeed a pleasure to have you at the table today, man. Good to have you.
Thanks so much. I'm privileged to be here.
You are here to share your story. Westside, as you guys know, and as I'm sure some people who are listening, maybe many people who are listening know, is celebrating 10 years. And over that 10 years, celebrating 10 years of existence this fall, but over that 10 years, we've never actually had someone on staff, paid staff, who have overseen the youth ministry of either campus. And so it's just, man, historical. Huge story. Yeah, it is historical.
Historical moment.
We want to share that story, how that came to be, because some people have asked me, you know, why have we hired somebody? Joseph, as you'll find out, as he'll share his story, is not a local guy. He's actually Pennsylvania via Florida. His wife is from Michigan, Detroit. And so how did that come to be? So maybe that's where we'll start, turn it over to Joseph. But the story starts maybe with you, James, and then we'll go to you, Joseph. And then we'll hear your story, Joseph, where you grew up, all that stuff. So. Yeah. Can I just turn it over to you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I remember a few months back now, I remember praying. I remember even as an elder, we had an elders meeting and we were praying, God, let's put a faith budget aside. You remember that? We said for a youth guy. And so we were praying about it. And then, you know, I think it was like Tuesday, I get a random email from Florida from you.
Yeah, some random guy.
Yeah, some random guy. He's like, hey, I listened to a few sermons from you guys, saw that you were looking, that you don't have a youth person on your website, found you on Desiring God from when we had Piper come in. And I remember just going, okay, buddy.
Yeah, who is this? I remember getting that email from you, and you were like, hey, yeah, we don't, but who are you? Do you know who we are?
Yeah.
Like, super random,
dude. You did get
the
right West Side. Exactly. We're in Canada.
Yeah.
And then I remember I called you and just shared with you really briefly. We don't normally hire without that. Our hope is to raise up leaders within, but send me your resume. I'll let the guys know. We just prayed for a youth pastor or a youth director. And you did that. Loved it. I was like, this guy's got his master's and he knows his theology. So I got a little excited there. And then
you brought it to me and I said, no way.
No way. You did. That was it.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, is it worth the effort? Because, I mean, hiring someone is hard enough. You got to go through a process. Hiring somebody from the States is hard enough. Hiring somebody, geographically speaking, who is about as far from Vancouver as possible, I just thought, it's not going to be worth the effort. It's hard. You know, there's the paperwork. How are we going to get to know him? All that stuff. But I remember you pressing in on it. Then we had, at some point, you'll be able to talk, Joseph. Yeah. This is now turning into
Toronto. No, great. No. You guys do your thing.
And then we had a conference over in Toronto, and at that conference was a guy named Mike, who you, Joseph, know from your college days, who coached you soccer.
Yeah. Also went to seminary with him.
Yeah. So we rallied with him and said, hey, you know, we're getting these weird emails. Tell us about Joseph. And he's going, Joseph's a great guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is he worth pursuing? Yeah, I'd pursue him. And I thought, wow, this is kind of weird that, you know, he's in Canada, Mike knows you from down across the line, planting in Montreal, good guy, Joseph, you know, he's saying good guy, you know, worth pursuing. And so he said, all right. And that's where I got a little more involved and I think had the initial conversation with you on the phone.
Yeah, I remember that. Super nervous.
Oh, were you?
I was like, the Norm Funk.
Yeah.
Calling
oh,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be nervous.
Make or break
I totally
call.
Understand why you're nervous.
Funk and Jesus?
Yeah, this yeah. is at yeah. Funk and Jesus yes. on Twitter.
And so that was a good call. And I said, okay, give me some... You'd already sent up some references on your resume and talked to some guys in ministry, talked to the pastor of the church you were attending down in Florida. Everything's coming up great. I'm like, all right. So I went back to the elders and I said, you know, this is actually maybe worth flying Joseph and his wife Nicole up to Vancouver. And within about 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, you guys were on the ground in early July.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For maybe 40 hours. I mean,
yeah,
it was quick.
Not even.
So, had a great time there, at least felt good about it. And within that next week, said, yeah, let's hire him. Mm-hmm. And that began a process. So, maybe at that stage, let's step back, and then you can maybe, let's, you know, put the rewind on, tell us your story, and then maybe tell us about these last couple of months, because it's a big mm-hmm. deal. Faith yeah. journey stuff, big stuff. You're not single, you're married, your wife's from this, and she's all part of this. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get into youth ministry here at Westside, what's going on, all that kind of stuff. So maybe just share your story a little bit.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Indiana. My dad was a youth pastor out there for 14 years, I think. It was great. I loved being a part of a youth pastor's family. I always got to go on the winter retreats with them, always having students over in the house. Loved that life. Then when I was going into sixth grade, my dad took a teaching position at Summit University in Pennsylvania. I was teaching some youth ministry classes, some speech classes, some theology classes. So we made that move from Indiana to Pennsylvania. I started going to a public school there, sixth grade, and loved it. I loved being in a public school. I loved getting to know people who didn't know Jesus, didn't yep. really know about the Bible, pretty high Catholic population there. So a lot of nominal, what right. we would call Christians. I go to church on Easter. Right. I know who Jesus is. You know, he's that historical figure who died on the cross. But other than that, they didn't have a functional understanding of what the gospel meant for them and day in, day out. Types of things. So it was a great opportunity, built some great friendships there. Graduated high school, went and spent a year in Argentina studying Bible and Spanish. Great year, nice. Hard year. Worked nice. On a farm, which was gave new meaning to all of Jesus's agricultural nice. Parables. Yeah. Understood those firsthand.
Yeah.
So that was terrible. Came back to the States, went to Summit University, which is where I met my wife. She comes to Pennsylvania by way of Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
She grew up in a Christian family, actually had a soccer scholarship to the University of Michigan, was planning on going there, playing soccer, and then broke her hip her junior year.
That's unbelievable.
And her plans just totally changed. Felt the Lord calling her to Summit University in Pennsylvania. So she, by faith, stepped out and said, all right, Lord, I don't know why you're doing the things that you're doing in my life, but I'm just going to follow your leading. So moved out to Pennsylvania, start college, and we met, dated all through college, got married August of 2012. And then from there, I kept going to seminary, went on from college into seminary, worked a couple jobs, did an internship in Pennsylvania there locally, and she continued to sub. And then we got this crazy job offer from this Christian school in Florida, so we moved to Florida.
Where specifically?
In St. Petersburg.
Okay.
Yeah, so just south of Tampa. So we moved there last summer, and had a great year, loved being a part of that ministry. Some things started to change in the ministry there, so they decided to go in a different direction. I taught Bible. My wife was teaching second grade, and they were moving the Bible department in a different direction. So
you taught Bible for junior high students?
Junior high, yep, junior high.
What did that look like on a kind of day-by-day, week-by-week
for you? I had about 120 students.
Yeah.
6th through 8th grade, so we had two classes for each grade, so we taught through, I loved teaching Bible. 6th grade was Genesis,
right.
7th grade was John,
yeah.
And then 8th grade was Acts and New Testament survey, so awesome. Really, a really solid understanding of sin, the creation of the world, and then our need for Jesus. We kind of tackled that in 7th grade, and then moving from 7th grade to 8th grade, we kind of looked at, okay, knowing what we know about sin, knowing what we know about Jesus, let's look at how that changes things and sort of talk about mission. So walking through the book of Acts and just seeing how the gospel exploded throughout the early church was super fun. I loved being able to see those students understand the gospel, but then see how that changes the way that they live their lives and the people, the relationships that they had. So it was a great opportunity, but the Lord in his sovereignty decided to transition that ministry to a different direction. So I was sort of left in a interesting place because Nicole was killing it in second grade. Right. Everybody loved her.
Right.
So there was this tension between, do we stay here? You keep teaching. Do I look for another job? Don't really know what the Lord wants us to do. And that was about the time that Piper came to do his Look at the Book
here at Westside
conference. Yeah. Here at Westside. And I followed Desiring God and some of those blogs. So I saw the message, didn't know anything about Westside.
Yeah.
Watched the message, loved it, showed it to my students actually in class. And through the course of the next couple of days, saw that there was a link on Desiring God to Westside Church. So I went to the church, started looking around at a few places, and at first glance, I was like, wow, this website is amazing. It's like the best church website I've ever seen in my whole life.
All right.
Yeah. So
I take zero credit.
It's right.
You take zero credit.
Zero credit.
It's all Aaron and Tiff. And
yeah, job well done there.
They're fantabulous.
Font. I did Gotham font, yeah. Which is the Lord's font. I think that's what the
says it somewhere.
Yeah, the scribes all used Gotham, I think, for the early Torah writings.
That's
fire. So
that's a good school Moses. You went to.
Yeah, yeah. So initially it was like, man, this website's amazing. So I was like, oh, if the website's amazing, the leadership has got to be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, we sure fooled people there.
Yeah. So went to the staff page, saw that there was no youth pastor,
yeah.
Or youth director, didn't really have a youth guy. They had a family guy and a kids guy,
yeah.
But nothing specific. And that kind of surprised me and shocked me. So I was like, oh, that's a little interesting.
Yeah.
Decided to email James, the campus pastor, because I knew Norm being the lead guy, there's no way he's going to email me back. So I was like, oh, he's
what do you mean that's true?
I emailed you back within seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean, if you're the lead guy, you're preaching, you're casting vision, you're meeting with
all that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So you're not going to respond absolutely. To a.
No. A lowly, not somebody from Florida.
Yeah. No, a lowly
campus
middle school
pastor,
Bible.
He's not doing much.
No, campus pastor. I'm like, that guy probably doesn't do anything.
Oh, you're
he's
feeling sorry for yourself now.
Doing a prayer walk.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not doing anything, yeah. So he'll respond
he's
to me. He loves,
some, you know,
loves these types
shop,
of emails.
You know, writing poetry.
Yeah.
Joseph, maybe just talk about, because I remember when I talked to you on the phone, just how Canada became kind of a like a love in your life, or even something that you were like even church planning. I remember just even talking with Mike, your
sure.
love for Canada.
Yeah, I knew Mike. He is a church planter in Montreal with an organization called Extend the Gospel. And we went to seminary together. We actually took a Christology course together. So I remember having a great time in that at Baptist Bible Seminary. And Yeah, we were great friends. As Norm mentioned earlier, he was one of my soccer coaches in college, and he felt the call to plant in Montreal while he was doing an internship at the church that I was doing the internship at. So we were going to seminary together and working at Heritage Baptist Church in Clark Summit. So we developed a really good relationship, and he decided to go to Montreal to church plant. And me and Nicole just kind of felt God calling us to support him. At that time, you know, I was working a bunch of jobs. She was subbing. We didn't financially really know what we were going to do, but I just felt the Spirit calling us to do that.
Right.
So we decided to support him. So that was sort of my initial introduction to Canada, missions, Canada, gospel, ministry. Didn't know a lot about it other than there's not much in Canada in terms of gospel ministry. Yeah, so we started praying for him. I got his newsletters and was praying for Canada all, you know, the past 2 years or so. And then when this church, you know, you emailed me back, James, and we had a few phone calls. I was like, man, is this what the Lord is calling us to?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my initial connection with Canada. My dad does a lot of wilderness trips up in Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
So we used to go up, cross the border every summer, but definitely nothing this far west.
Right. You have some connection, though, to the Northwest, like the Northwest and the States. You have some buddies just across the line in Washington State.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine's in Spokane.
Yeah.
He's a pastor there. So we have a really good relationship. And he was the one who was kind of trying to bring me up to this general area.
Right.
He was like, I think you'd fit in really well with this culture. Your desire to see students love Jesus and live that out in their lives, that would be a perfect place here. The Northwest is a lot different than what I'm used to, which right. is kind of the South and the Bible Belt and right. the nominal Christianity. Everybody's a Christian.
Yeah.
So to come up here to the Northwest and specifically Vancouver, where that's not really a thing.
Right.
That's a totally different vibe. He was like, yeah, I think you'd fit in really well here. That fits your personality, that fits your ministry philosophy. So yeah, that was sort of my pull up here originally.
One of the things that kind of kept me pursuing and interested was, well, I like the fact that you grew up in a youth pastor home. That was one thing. I don't think it's absolutely essential, but at least you get a sense of what ministry life is like. Sometimes that can be a positive. Sometimes that can be the opposite.
Sure.
The other thing is you were going to a church plant. You were attending. You and Nicole were attending a church plant, a recent church plant down in Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, about 100 people or something like that, maybe even less.
Yeah, it was
pretty small. So you knew that stuff.
Yep.
And you were, I mean, helping out leading worship and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of got that side, because when we talked and we started talking church planting, you have that heart too. Like you have a heart for multiplication. Yeah. Is that, I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, when I was in high school, there was a church plant starting in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
The office.
The office, Dunder Mifflin.
Home of the office.
Yeah. Michael Scott attended a few times, but yeah. He was doing stuff, so he got
Dwight Schrute was leading worship.
Yeah, yeah, he was. We had church discipline there. There were some issues, but yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah, Scranton, so church plant, and the church we were going to kind of called our family to help this church plant start. Yeah. So that was my youth ministry beginnings, I would say, was we went to a church plant. We didn't even have a youth group, really.
Yeah.
We were, you know, rocking 30, 40 people on a Sunday meeting in some random gym.
Right.
Steamtown Church was the name of it.
Nice.
Yeah, so I went to a church plant all the way through college. Then we transitioned into another ministry. And then when we moved to Florida, we started going to Aletheia St. Pete, which is an Acts 29 church plant in Florida. And yeah, they're doing amazing stuff in St. Petersburg. We were really blessed to be a part of that. Jesus was being proclaimed in an area that really needs the gospel. So that was a privilege. Yeah, I led worship. was a deacon there. Nicole was doing some awesome stuff there as well. So yeah, church planting is definitely on my heart. Thought about church planting before I came to Westside. That was kind of in the plans, but I didn't know if I was that guy. I still really had a heart and a draw for students, and I knew that if I planted my own church or took up a plant, that most of my time wouldn't have been geared towards students, and that was what I felt the Lord was calling me to. So I didn't want to suppress my love for students and student ministry at this point. So through talking with my wife and some brothers that I trust, they kind of encouraged me to, you know, keep on the student ministry train and just see what the Lord opens up.
Can you talk a little bit about, sorry to cut you off. Can you talk a little bit about just your heart? You talk about your love for students, heart for students. You have a passion for that. I know when we were going through the whole process of bringing you up here, you made that really clear. But also love for the church, because a lot of times you hear a lot about ministries and reaching youth, and there's this sense that the church can't reach youth. Youth don't have any interest in the church, and so we're not going to do anything through the church. And I want to be really clear. I have nothing against parachurch organizations. We support parachurch, specifically some parachurch youth organizations here. But at the same time, feel that God's plan is to make himself known through the church. And that includes students and kids and everyone. So can you maybe talk about that passion a little bit and sort of, not to put you on the spot, but just, you know, the excitement about ministry in the church and some of your dreams and goals and, you know, big audacious, you know, plans, you know, that may or may not come to fruition, but just that excitement aspect of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think student ministry has a tendency to be its own thing, and it seems to a lot of times be disconnected from the greater local church or the community, the covenant community as a whole. So what tends to happen a lot is I think youth pastors want to make their youth groups or their student ministries fun and exciting and dramatic and like, oh, we're going to have pizza and games and MTV is going to be there and we're getting Kanye up here. And it's like trying to do this big thing to excite kids about Jesus. And there's a big show, but it's not really, hey, this church loves Jesus and we love students. Right. So student ministry is just going to be another microcosm of the greater church. And so, yeah, that's really my heart, is to see student ministry integrated with what the church is already doing and partner with the other generations to speak truth into grades 7 through 12. So, I have a huge heart for that. And more than anything, I want and we want as a ministry to see students understand that their identity is in Christ and grounded in the truths of the gospel, but not let that sit within the four walls of the youth room and not even within the greater walls of the church, but to have them understand their identity in Christ and have that influence how they are at schools and on their sports teams and sort of be the missionaries that Jesus has called them to in their specific contexts. Because I think a lot of times students think that, oh, the youth pastor does the ministry, or let me bring my friends to church because here's where the real ministry happens. And there's not a sense of, I'm going to go into my schools and my sports teams and my jobs and my universities and bring the gospel there. So that's my big heart, I think, here at Westside, is to just equip students with truths about the Bible, truths about doctrine, about the gospel, but use those truths to influence their friends and families and to make Jesus known in their context, because I can't go to their schools and I can't be on their sports teams.
Right.
So it's not necessarily, or at all, my thing. It's, hey, let's equip these students to make much of Jesus where they already are.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. we have a few minutes left. I mean, I could talk more about that because that gets me, it gets me jacked up. I think for people listening and, you know, maybe people that aren't a part of this ministry, and they may go, well, man, 10 years you haven't hired somebody. What's going on? Just to give you a sense of West Side and the demographics, we're right in the heart of the city. When we were 1,000 people, you know, including every man, woman, and child, and including the North Shore, a couple of years ago, 73% of Westside was under 30 years old. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of young kids. We have a lot of babies. We had 37 baby announcements at Westside downtown last year alone. So we have a lot of young kids. And what happens in the downtown, and I was actually watching the news last night, school started, and all of the schools in the suburbs are over capacity. They're bringing in portables. And the student or the schools in the city are actually empty, are not empty, but they have hundreds of spaces. And that is actually going to drop in the years ahead. So youth ministry in the city is entirely different than youth ministry in the burbs because it's so stinking expensive to live here. So when you start having kids, you're finding places and you're moving out. Understandably, although we want to ruin people so much that they don't want to leave and they don't want to leave the ministry and they want to love the city and they'll do it all they can to stay here. But it's a different beast. And so youth ministry will look different than the burbs. It will look different than Indiana. It will look different than Florida. But as vital, it's just different because there are still thousands of students in the city of Vancouver and they're dozens of great high schools, big high schools in and around. So it's just a different thing. And then we're multiple campus. So even downtown's different than the North Shore. I mean, talk about the North Shore a little bit and just the makeup, how it even differs than the downtown campus.
Well, yeah, I would say next to downtown, like it's the it's the next burb. So you, you grow out of that, then you go you know, into the Burnaby's, Coquitlam, Surrey's in that place. So lots of youth. But again, if you're not reaching that high school kid, our lowest demographic on the North Shore is the 20s. The highest next to, you know, elderly and such are our youth. And so we want to keep youth on the North Shore to create a new culture. So it's vital. I would say it's vital for different reasons in this stage that Westside have a youth director.
And even I'm assuming or presuming, I guess, that you know, let's say someone a buddy of yours is listening from Florida and they may know this about Vancouver. Vancouver is 2-3% of Vancouverites get up on a Sunday and attend an evangelical Christian church. And I even think that I think it's even smaller because I know the church is in the GVRD. I'm talking about Vancouver proper. Not the burbs. So Vancouver proper. So you have people, they're not moving to the city with families. They're not moving to the city. Most people don't move to the city looking for a church. So you're just dealing, you're dealing with a missions field in North America, outside of Quebec City and Montreal. This is the least Christian city. It's the most gospel needed place in North America. It's more like Europe than it is across the line. And so it's a different thing. And so when we were talking about this hire, it was, we need somebody who has a heart for mission. We need somebody who has a heart for multiplication. It's a different deal. And in fact, I was more excited that you didn't come in here going, you know, I've run youth ministry after youth ministry after youth ministry, and had this group of 200 and 500 and 600, did a bunch of stuff, because we would almost have to spend the first year kind of scraping that away instead of going, man, this is a different deal. This is a different deal, and you're going to have different challenges. But you're not going to have the other stuff either, which is a good thing. You know, that sort of sense that, well, I've got to grow this baby from 150 to 200 or else, you know, everybody's going to be upset. No, from the North Shore standpoint, it's right now there's nothing. So maybe even, we've only got a couple minutes left. Maybe just if I can fast forward to now, it's fall, you're here, people listening, parents, youth, students, others listening. What's the plan over these next couple of weeks, months for both campuses? And then maybe we'll shut things down.
Yeah, so this coming Monday, which is September 14th, we have our first youth fall kickoff. So that'll be great. In the coming weeks, we'll have some stuff for parents Sunday afternoon, we'll get together and have lunch and
just to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, get to know me and Nicole, give some clarity as to what our vision is for the student ministry, what we want to see happen in the hearts and lives of their students, how we can partner with them to make Jesus known in their kids' lives. And then probably mid-October, we're looking to launch some North Shore mm-hmm. stuff. We'll have some weekly gatherings for the students and do some retreats coming up in December. So we'll be having some awesome times together here shortly.
That's awesome. So yeah. September 14th, which is just a few days away. So stuff here, downtown campus, and then just that, yeah, I'm just really excited about mm-hmm. stuff getting off the ground on the North Shore. So working with, we've had a great group mm-hmm. of volunteers, just getting to know yeah. them. And just, you know, for people who are listening, to be praying for you and Nicole, because mm-hmm. huge transition. You had the big move. You're hitting the ground here. You're meeting new people, and your heads must be spinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there's some homesickness. I'm sure mm-hmm. that there's some longing for back home, missing you guys, and mm-hmm. just, you know, just all of that. So you put everything together. We just need to be praying for you. And so as people listening, to be praying for you, but really fired up mm-hmm. for what God has in store, not just in the next weeks, but in the next years ahead as it pertains to the youth ministry here at Westside. Mm-hmm. Did you have something else you wanted to say over there?
No, well, you know, just we're really excited on the North Shore. For the last 2 or 3 months, I've had leaders, great leaders, just come up to me, not even knowing that you're coming in on the ground, saying, hey, I want to do some stuff with the youth. So just perfect timing, really excited to see the Holy Spirit move. And you're here because God has you here, and we're fired up to seek the kingdom together, man.
Yeah, some big things ahead for sure.
Yeah, so we're going to introduce, if you listen to this, introduce Joseph and Nicole this Sunday, downtown campus, the following Sunday, North Shore campus. Check out the website, wchurch.ca, for more stuff in regards to not only student ministry, but to the rest of the ministry here, both here downtown and on the North Shore. And as I said, and I'll say it one more time, just be praying for the Petersons. Mm-hmm. Fire off an email of encouragement and welcome. Make sure you greet them when you see them on Sunday. And Joseph, it's great having you part of this ministry, man. Our just huge excitement to have you and Nicole here.
Thanks,
so,
brother.
Yeah, so thanks for the time. James, thank you for the time. And if you're listening, I said, check out the website, wchurch.ca, and we'll be back in a couple weeks with another podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.